Hello, everybody. I'm Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, pastor of Saddleback Church in Southern California, and speaker and teacher on the Daily Hope broadcast. Welcome back to this special series of messages that I'm teaching to encourage you during the global COVID-19 virus pandemic. We don't know how long this pandemic is going to last, but these messages are going to deal with the issues and the questions and the circumstances and even the emotions that you're going to face in the days ahead. So I hope you'll join me every week. Now, there's a book in the Bible that I believe is especially relevant to our situation today. It's called the Book of James. It was written by the half-brother of Jesus, who did not become a Christian, a follower of Christ, until after the resurrection. It's a very short book. At the end of the New Testament, it's only 5 chapters long, 108 verses, but it's jam-packed with practical advice for people in a crisis. And it covers every possible emotion that you could be feeling, and it gives us principles from the Bible for living during a pandemic. Now, I'm calling this series A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, because that's what the book of James is all about. It tells us what to remember, what to feel, what to be, and what to do when we're in a crisis and under stress. Now, if you missed the first message in this series, I want to urge you to go online to saddleback.com and watch or listen to part 1 of this series called A Faith That Walks Through the Valley of Virus. And we dealt with the emotion of fear. And in that message, we looked at 6 essentials that you need to remember to survive and thrive during this crisis. Now, I want to remind you that there's an outline for each of these messages in this series available to you. And it will help you follow along, help you take notes, help you remember more. And it has all of the Bible verses that we're going to look at today. You can use it as a discussion guide to have a small group discussion with your friends each week. You can download that free outline from saddleback.com website. But even more convenient is if you'll just email me and tell me that you want all the outlines in this series, I will email them to you each week during this week series. So just write to me, Pastor Rick at saddleback.com. Pastor Rick, one word, at saddleback.com, and just say, I want the outlines. Now, last week, we saw that the crisis that the people James was writing to was not a pandemic, but it was persecution. People were being evicted from their homes. They were being killed for their faith by the Roman Empire. And it was a scary time to be alive. They were dying every day, and you could lose your life for being a follower of Jesus. Now, that's why in the first verse of this book, it starts this way. I read it to you last week, but let's go over it again. James 1, verse 1. This letter is from James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to all of God's people who have been scattered everywhere in the world. Greetings. Now, why were they scattered? Well, if you heard last week's message, it's because they were running for their lives. Their lives had been turned upside down, kind of like our lives have been with this pandemic. They didn't just lose their jobs. They lost their homes, and they could die. It was a real crisis. So James writes this little short letter to encourage them in a crisis, and explains the kind of faith that we need, the kind of faith that works when life doesn't. And he begins with the attitudes that we need to make part of our lives in tough times. Now, let me read it to you. James chapter 1, the first couple of verses, verses 2 to 4. He's talking to believers in a crisis. He says, when all kinds of troubles crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. So let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed in you. Then you will become a person of mature character and integrity with no weak spots. Now, in that passage I just read to you, the key word of what I just read is the word realize. He said, when you realize certain things, you're going to have a whole lot better handle on the problems, the trials, the crisis, and the pandemic that you're going through. Listen to me very closely. Your success in handling the stress and the strain of this current COVID-19 crisis, or any other crisis for that matter, is going to be determined by what you realize. How you handle stress will be determined by what you realize, by what you know, and what you remember. The clearer your perspective is, the more stable and the more strong you're going to be when the heat's on. You see, perspective feeds your faith, and faith gives you confidence. Now, remember, this 16-17-part series is called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. And in this second message, this is part two, I'm calling this A Faith That Isn't Troubled by Troubles. A Faith That Isn't Troubled by Troubles. Now, when James starts this book, he doesn't waste any words. So immediately he starts with teaching us four truths to remember about troubles. If you're taking notes, you might want to write these down. The first thing James says is this: troubles are inevitable. Troubles are inevitable. The first part of verse 2, he says, when all kinds of troubles come into your lives. Notice he doesn't say if troubles come into your life, but when. He says, count on it. You will have trouble. Now, James wasn't the first person to say this. Jesus said it. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Peter said, don't be surprised when troubles happen in your life. Nobody is immune. Nobody is insulated. Nobody is isolated. Nobody is exempt from troubles. So he says, troubles are inevitable. Now, problems are not an elective course in life. They're a required course. They're general ed. You can't opt out of the things you learn through troubles. And to graduate in life, you have to go through troubles. They're inevitable. Number two, second thing James says is that troubles are not only inevitable, troubles are variable. They're variable. What does he mean by that? They're not all alike. They're not all alike. You know this from experience. Troubles come in all sizes. They come in all shapes. They come in more than 31 flavors. The second part of verse 2 of James says, when all kinds, circle the all kinds. When, that's inevitable. All kinds, that's variable. When all kinds of troubles crowd in your life. The Greek word there literally means multicolored. It means many, many shades. They're variable. You know, I'm taping this out at my farm. Governments of the United States and Canada tell us that there are 415 varieties of weeds in North America. I think they're all on my farm. I think 80% of them grow in my garden. That's a lot of variety. But there's even more variety in the kinds of troubles that we face in life. They're multicolored. They're multifaceted. Troubles vary in intensity. In other words, how painful they are. Troubles vary in frequency, how often they come. And troubles vary in duration, how long they last. You know, with this COVID-19 pandemic, we still don't know how long it's going to last. But we do know that troubles are inevitable and troubles are variable. Number three, the third thing James says is, guys, troubles are unpredictable. They're unpredictable. They usually catch us by surprise. Troubles don't warn you in advance. They just show up when you least expect it. The third part of verse 2 in James chapter 1 is, he says, when all kinds of trouble crowd into your lives as intruders. Have you noticed that trouble seems to come at the most inopportune time? I mean, you don't plan for them. You feel, not now. You know, you get a flat tire when you're running late. Or the baby throws up on your dress when you're headed to church. What makes problem a problem is they often catch us off guard. It's when we least expect it. It's when we're unprepared. It's when it's inconvenient. You know as well as I do, you can't schedule your troubles. You know, say, well, I'll make time for this trouble on Tuesday. You can't predict it. You can't anticipate. You're just going to have troubles in life. The word there crowd into your life is the Greek word peripepto. It literally means to fall into unexpectedly. It's the exact same word used in the story of the Good Samaritan, where the victim is beaten up by robbers. In the Good Samaritan story, it says he fell into a band of robbers. In other words, by accident, without anticipating it, he just falls into this problem. So the troubles are going to happen in your life unexpectedly. And then number four, this is the good news. James says troubles are purposeful. They're purposeful. In other words, this is good news. There is a purpose behind your problem. James chapter 1, verse 3 says, realize that these troubles come to produce. Circle the phrase, to produce. They come to produce in you. What is he saying? He's saying they're variable, they're unpredictable, you can't figure them all out, but they're productive. Troubles can be productive. He's saying that stress and suffering can accomplish something good in your life. That stress and suffering can have value in our lives if we have the right perspective. So God is saying, or James is saying, that God is saying that God uses difficulties for good in our lives. How in the world does God use difficulties for good in our lives? Well, that's verse 3 and 4. And in verse 3 and 4, the next couple of verses, James gives us three purposes of trouble in your life. Number one, troubles test my faith. Troubles test my faith. James chapter 1, verse 3, they come to test your faith. Now, faith is like a muscle. And the only way a muscle grows is to have it stretched, to have it strengthened, to have it put pressure on it, put weight on it. The way your strength in your character grows is by having your faith tested. And it has to be stretched. You have to put weight on it like you have to put weight on a muscle. The word testing here is actually the term used for refining metals. And in refining metals, you have to burn off the impurity. So what you do is you take gold, you take silver, and you heat it to extreme heat where it melts. And when gold or silver is melted at extreme heat, it burns off all the impurities, and then you're left with pure gold or you're left with pure silver. Right now, the heat may be on in your life in this crisis. You're sheltered at home. You may have lost your job. Your kids are out of school. You got all kinds of problems. The classic example of when the heat is on and the testing of faith is the story of Job. His faith was tested in many, many, many ways. And yet at the end, he came out pure. And God restored him double what he'd had at the start. You know, sometimes what we think is bad is actually preparing us for good. What we think is bad is actually preparing us for good. You know, years ago, I met an old guy who told me how getting laid off was the very best thing that ever happened to him. Let me tell you this story. He had worked at a sawmill all of his life. But one day during economic downturn, his boss walked in and suddenly announced that he was fired. He was laid off at 40 years of age. He had a wife. He had a family. He had no other job opportunities due to the recession. And this guy that was talking to me and told me how depressed he got and how fearful he got. He goes, I've lost my job. He said, I felt like my world had caved in the day that I was fired. And he said, I went home and told my wife, what happened? And my wife asked, so what are you going to do now? And I said, I thought about it, and I said, I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do. I'm going to become a builder. And I'm going to mortgage our home, and I'm going to go into a building business. And this guy told me, you know, Rick, my first venture was the construction of two small motels. He said, that's the first thing I built. But within 5 years, he said, I was a multimillionaire. That man's name was Wallace Johnson. And the business that he started after getting fired was called Holiday Inns. Holiday Inns. And Wallace told me, you know, today, if I could locate the man who fired me, I would go up and sincerely thank him for what he did. He said, you know, at the time that it happened, I didn't understand why I was fired. Only later could I see that it was God's hand. It was God's unerring and wondrous plan to get me into the career of his choosing. We often see in hindsight what we can't see in foresight. So the first things that troubles do, the first purpose of trouble is they test my faith. Am I going to trust God in this situation? Here's the second thing that happens. Troubles develop my endurance. Troubles develop my endurance. Now, notice it says there, troubles develop endurance. I like the old English word for this. It's the word steadfastness. Steadfastness. What is steadfastness? What is perseverance? What is endurance? It's staying power. That's what it is. Literally, the ability to handle pressure. The ability to keep hanging on and hanging in there when things go bad. How do you learn to handle pressure? Really, have you ever thought about this? How do you learn to handle pressure? There's only one way, by experiencing it. And this is the quality that is in short supply in our culture right now. Most people today give up too soon. They haven't learned steadfastness. They haven't learned perseverance. They haven't learned endurance. One of the things God wants to teach us when things don't go right is to teach us endurance. He wants to test our faith. He wants to produce endurance or steadfastness in our lives. I'll never forget back in 1981, the second year of Saddleback Church, and I went through a depressed period where I wanted to quit literally every Sunday. And every bone in my body wanted to just give up. But I learned to just keep going. When you're going through hell, what do? You keep going. When you're going through hell, you don't want to stop there. You don't want to stay there. You want to spend the rest of your life there. When you're going through hell, what do? You just keep walking. You put one foot in front of the other. And it was during that year of depression, 1981, that I learned some lessons that prepared me to handle enormous amounts of stress and enormous amounts of change. And I wouldn't be who I am today. And today, I have a calmness in a crisis like this COVID-19 crisis. I have a very strong calmness that allows me to help others effectively because years and years ago, God took me through the strengthening of my faith and the developing of endurance in my life. And as a result, I'm much more calm when a crisis comes. This is the 34th crisis that we've faced, either nationally or internationally, at Saddleback Church. It's just another one. It's the next one to come along. I want you to have that kind of confidence and that kind of calmness and that kind of endurance. Then James says there's a third thing that troubles do. He says troubles mature my character. They test my faith, they develop endurance, they mature my character. This is verse 4. He says this, but let the process, it's the process of maturity, let the process go on until you become men of mature character with integrity and with no weak spots. Wouldn't you like to be that? A man or a woman of integrity, a man or a woman with no weak spots, a man with character and maturity, a woman with character and maturity. He says that's what happens when you learn to respond to trouble correctly. Years ago, I read about a very famous research study in Russia, and it was on the effect of how different living conditions affect the longevity of lifespan of different animals. In other words, scientists discovered that animals placed in comfortable and easy living conditions actually become weaker and are more susceptible to sickness, and they die sooner in comfortable and conditions than those who are allowed to experience the normal hardships of life. I think the same is true of human beings. So how does God want us to respond to the trouble of this COVID-19 crisis? Well, James chapter 1 gives us the answers. he gives us four very radical, very counterculture responses. They're radical, but they're the right response. All right? This may surprise you, but here they are. Write these down. The four ways to respond to troubles in your life, a faith that isn't troubled by troubles. Number one, rejoice, knowing God can use it. That's the first thing you do. When you're in troubles, rejoice, knowing that God can use it. Now, God can use anything you give him, even the troubles that other people create that are meant to harm you. Yeah, he can use that. Solomon or Joseph was the guy who said, "You meant it to harm me, but God meant it for good." Genesis 50:20. In James chapter 1, verse 2, let's read that again. My friends, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy. What? Now, don't misunderstand. He's not saying deny reality. He's not saying pretend there's no problem. He's not saying fake it till you make it. He's not saying put on a plastic smile and wear a mask and be Pollyanna and say the sun will come out tomorrow and live in the denial of the problem you're in. No. He's not saying that at all when he says you should be joyful. And he's not, by the way, saying masochism, which is, oh boy, I get to suffer. Whoopee. You know, you're not meant to be a martyr. Don't have a martyr complex. In other words, oh, I feel so spiritual, I feel bad. No. That's not what God is saying. We don't rejoice for the trouble, but we can still rejoice during the trouble because of what we know is true. And what do we know is true? We know that God sees and cares about everything we're going through. We know that we're never alone, that God is with us. We know that God will give us strength if we trust him. But the greatest comfort of all, when you're going through a pain, when you're going through troubles, the greatest comfort of all may be Romans 8:28, one of the great verses in the Bible, that God has promised to bring good out of bad for us. Romans 8:28 says this, a great promise. We know that in everything, God works for the good of those who love him. Now, circle the word everything. That includes COVID-19 pandemic. In everything, God works for the good of those who love him. Now, that's not a promise for everybody. It's a promise for those who love him, who want their lives to count according to his purpose. But what is he saying there? He's saying that when you're in a tough time like we're in right now, joy is a choice. It's your choice to rejoice. It's not based on circumstances. It's based on what we know. It's based on faith. We know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him. It is a choice to rejoice. As David said in Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. Not just in good times. I'm going to thank God, I'm going to praise God, I'm going to rejoice in God at all times. He says, I will. That's a choice of the will. It's a decision. I choose to rejoice in God. I'm not rejoicing for my problem. That's masochistic. I'm rejoicing that God will use it for good in my life. So no matter what I'm going through, I know he'll use it for good. I rejoice knowing that God will use it in my life. Number two, the second thing James says to do in troubles, relax, asking God for wisdom. He says, don't panic. Don't panic, pray. Don't worry. He says, worship, relax, and trust God. Ask God for wisdom in your life. James 1, verse 7. I love this in the Phillips translation. It says, if in the process, any of you doesn't know how to meet any particular problem, you only have to ask God, who gives generously wisdom to all men without making them feel guilty. And you may be sure that the necessary wisdom will be given to you. That's promise. He says, God isn't holding back wisdom. God gives wisdom to anybody who asks for it. Have you asked for God to give you the wisdom and how to handle this COVID-19 crisis? Have you asked him for wisdom on what to do about your job, or what to do about your future, on what to do about your kids, on what to do about whatever you're struggling with. God says, ask for wisdom. And he says, he willingly gives it to us, generously. God gives wisdom to anybody who asks for it. You say, well, why do I need wisdom? Well, you need wisdom, first, for a couple reasons. You need wisdom so I can learn from the trouble. Okay? Every trouble is an education. What can I learn from this? But more than that, second, I need wisdom so I can know what to do. I'm saying that when you go through trouble, like what we're going through right now with the COVID-19, is don't ask why. Why is this happening? But ask what. What do you want me to learn? Don't ask why, ask what. What do you want me to learn, God, from this crisis? And I'll tell you, the devil wants to use trouble to defeat you. But God wants to use trouble to develop you, okay? What other people and what the devil means to defeat you, God says, no, I want to use this to develop you. So I rejoice knowing that God is going to help me, and I relax asking for wisdom. And the third thing that I do, James says this in the next verse, is rely on God, believing he'll help. Rely on God, believing he'll help me. Verse 8, James chapter 1, he says, but when you ask God for wisdom, you must sincerely believe and expect him to answer without doubting him. Sincerely believe, circle that, sincerely believe, and expect, circle that, expect him to answer without doubting. That's the reliance part. What is sincere belief? It's total reliance on God. You rely on the truth that God has promised to help you and strengthen you. I love this verse where David says in Psalm 116, verse 6 and 7, you know, when I was helpless, God saved me. And I said to myself, relax, relax, because the Lord takes care of you. Have you said that? Relax. Tell yourself, relax. The Lord will take care of you. That's the third point. In the reliance on God, then you can relax. Now, early in verse 2, remember we saw that troubles were variable. They come in all sizes and shapes and kind. Well, did you know that that phrase, that troubles are variable, they come in all sizes and shapes, there are many kinds of trouble, that same word is found in 1 Peter 4:10, where it says, there are many kinds of grace. There are many kinds. Grace is variable. What is he saying? God gives as many kinds of grace to meet as many kinds of troubles as you have. For every trouble in your life, there's a different kind of grace. Now, you see, I want to point out that trouble doesn't automatically produce good in your life. For a lot of people, trouble just makes them bitter, not better. They're not any better. They're bitter because of the trouble in their life. What makes the difference? Your faith makes a difference. The faith that works when life doesn't. Your faith makes a difference. It's what you choose to rely on during your troubles. So, first, I rejoice knowing that God will use the problem, the troubles in my life. Second, I relax asking God for wisdom. Third, I rely on God, believing that he's going to help me. And here's the fourth thing that James says, so you're not troubled by troubles. Number four, refuse to quit, remembering God's promises. Refuse to quit. That's the endurance part, remembering God's promises. Now, God gives us many, many, many promises in the Bible, many promises of help in trouble. There are over 7,000 promises in this book. We will never face trouble on our own. But James mentions a particular promise that I think is really important in this COVID-19 crisis. James chapter 1, verse 12, he says this, happy are those who remain faithful under trials. That's troubles. Happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed, in passing such a test, they will receive as their reward the life which God has promised to those who love Him. You know, the whole reason that I'm teaching this series out here on this farm is because I want you to get that reward from God. The truth is, suffering's part of life. You're going to suffer no matter what, whether you use it or you don't use it, whether you benefit from it or you don't benefit from it, whether you get the rewards or don't get the rewards, whether you respond correctly or incorrectly, you're going to suffer in life. You're going to have problems in life. You may as well use it for good. Don't waste your sorrow. Don't waste your suffering. Don't waste your troubles. You're going to face trouble all of your life. You're in one right now with the coronavirus, the COVID-19. The only two questions that really matter are these. Number one, will you turn to God for help? You know, will you turn to God for help? And will you let God teach you some things and learn from it? Well, those are the only things that really matter. Now, if you do that, you turn to God for help and you let God teach you in the problem, you're going to receive a great reward. That's the promise of James chapter 1, verse 12. So I'm asking you to do this. Stick with me for this entire series so you can learn what God wants you to learn in a crisis. The book of James was meant for these kind of situations. The alternative is learn nothing and just waste the pain that you're going to go through in the weeks ahead. So stick with us. And let's learn what God wants us to learn in this crisis. Now, every week at Saddleback Church, we do several things to show our love to God. First, we recommit our lives to Jesus Christ at the end of every service. So let me lead you in a prayer right now. Would you bow your head? And let me just lead you in a simple prayer. Say something like this. Dear Jesus, just say that. Maybe you've never prayed before. Say, Dear Jesus, you know every trouble that I've faced in life. And you know what I'm facing right now. I understand that you have a purpose even in this COVID-19 pandemic. And I realize today that you want to test my faith. You want to develop my endurance. And you want to mature my character. So Jesus, I want to respond with faith. I want to thank you because I know that you can use this time for good in my life. And I want to relax and I want to ask for your wisdom to guide me in the days ahead. And I want to trust and I want to rely on believing that you'll help me through this difficult time. Jesus Christ, help me to remember your promises when I feel like giving up. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, say something like this. Jesus Christ, come into my life. Replace my fear with your love. Replace my guilt with your forgiveness. Fill me with your purpose and your power and your peace. I want to trust you in your name. Amen. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, now congratulations. We're all celebrating with you. We recommit our lives to Christ every week. If you did this for the very first time, you need to tell somebody. Would you tell me? I want you to text me. Text New Start, that's one word, N-E-W-S-T-A-R-T, because you're starting a new life today. Text New Start to 99,000. New Start to 99,000. I'll send you some material that'll help you with this decision you've just made in your life. If you live outside of the United States, email me, newstart@saddleback.com, and I'll get you the same material. Okay? A second thing we do at Saddleback Church is we express our gratitude to God through our giving. And if you have a church home, I want you to send a gift to your church home, okay? Just send them a gift saying, I'm grateful to God in my life. Maybe you can't be with him right now. Send that gift. And you can give online. You can set up automatic giving if you want to help us in this crisis. Saddleback Church is feeding literally tens of thousands of people in this crisis. And if you want to help our church feed people who are out of work, you can help us in this crisis. You can go to saddleback.com/give. You can set up an automatic giving where you just give a regular amount every week. We would be welcome that if you don't have a church home. Then number three, you need to be in a small group. And we meet online in small groups for support. If you're not in a small group, you need one during this crisis. And we'll help you get in a small group. I want you to text me, small group, at 99,000. Text a small group, one word, to 99,000. We'll help you get in an online small group for the duration of this pandemic. You need other people supporting you. If you live outside of the United States, email me, smallgroup@saddleback.com. By the way, here at our church, at Saddleback Church, we have weekly campus Zoom fellowships. We call them Together Tuesdays. And you can check with your local campus for the fellowship that meets every Tuesday night with your campus. Finally, we pray for each other. And if you'd like for us to pray for you, it would be our privilege to pray for you. You can text your prayer request to us. Text prayer, the word just prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R, to 99,000. Or you can email your prayer request to prayer@saddleback.com. Now, thank you for being a part of part two of this series. If you missed part one, go back and watch it. And stay with us for all through the series, because I'm going to help you grow to strong spiritual strength during this series. We'll see you next week. God bless you, everybody.